Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This is the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast, and we are calling all watchmen, all intercessors, all prayer warriors to join us today to have a heart-to-heart talk about really the condition of the church, the sad condition of the church. You know, saints, we have a lot to be thankful for. We live in a great country. There's no country like America. I've been all over the world. I've traveled extensively. The Lord has afforded me an opportunity to travel the world doing His will, His work. And I can tell you, there's not a country that comes close to America, not a country. We're so blessed. We're so fortunate. We have so much to be thankful for. And really, no one living in this wonderful country has really anything to gripe about. And yes, we have problems. This America has its issues. It has its racial issues. It's had problems, economic issues. Right now, we have our religious issues. Abortion is still abortion, and it rules the land. And the gay agenda is more powerful today than ever. And the homosexuals are more militant than ever. Whereas we can't. Even after blowing these magnificent and majestic shofars, we can't even rally. We can't rally the troops to come to pray. People are indifferent. They hear the shofar. We're calling. We're putting the call out for intercessors and prayer warriors and watchmen. And a great many ignore the trumpet sound. The sound of alarm. And, the homosexual community lacks nothing. People who will march, they will have people who will rally, they have their people who will fight their cause. And so, yeah, America is not perfect. And nothing is going to be perfect on planet Earth. Nothing. Because of sin. But one thing America had that was a saving grace. It was his God. It's America's God. Boy, blessed are the people, says the psalmist. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Oh, America had that going for it. That the Lord is our God. And the second thing America had going for it was its pulpit, was its ministers. Its ministers. But sadly, things have gone downhill. And that's why we started this broadcast, because we're hoping to turn things around. We're hoping to get men and women who feel the same thing we feel. Because we don't believe that we're the only ones who feel this. We don't believe here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Church that we're the only ones who see what's going on. And like I said, listen, I was thankful on Thanksgiving. I was just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for his mercy and his goodness and his love. I tell you, this Thanksgiving, I mean, I made sure that we gave the Lord thanks in my household. I made sure. I reminded those under my roof of how blessed we are and how thankful we ought to be. But I'm also sad. On the one hand, I can rejoice for the blessings of the Lord, but I'm heartbroken. I'm devastated. I'm depressed over the condition of the church, the global church, especially the church in America. I'm heartbroken. I stay up at night thinking where are we going to be as a people a year or two from now, based on what I see today. I mean, we've hit bottom, and I thought, you know, in 2014, I thought we hit bottom. Then I look around at 2015, and I say to myself, boy, there was still more to the bottom. I mean, the church is really in the gutter. Church is really in the dumps. The church has really hit the skids. Oh, is the church in trouble? Oh, I don't get much sleep these days. And when I look at Isaiah chapter 62, I see the solution. I see Isaiah under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit giving us some hope, telling us what to do, reminding us of what the church ought to be doing as its number one ministry, which is to pray. We're to pray. We're to seek God. We're to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Here in Isaiah chapter 62, the prophet declares, for Zion's sake, and of course, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, Zion is the church. For Zion's sake, says Isaiah, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, again, it's another term letting you know about the church, whom the book of Revelation calls the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. So for Zion's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the prophet says, I will not hold my peace, and I shall not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness. And I feel just like the prophet. All I want to do is pray, seek the Lord, cry out to God for mercy, ask God to have mercy on his people, and then turn to the people and cry aloud and spare not. Point the people to their sins. Point the people to their unrighteous. And by people, I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about starting in God's house. You look at the church is just as polluted as the world. I don't see a difference. I don't see a difference. So when you consider today's study, and today's study is entitled Persistently Praying for a Revival of Righteousness. Persistently praying for a revival of righteousness. That's what we're going to pray for. That's what we're going to believe God for. That's why we're rallying the watchmen, the prayer warriors, and the intercessors. We're rallying them. We're rallying them, so that we can together, as one, persistently pray. Another term for persistently praying is praying without ceasing. We're going to persistently pray that God will send us a revival of righteousness. That's what we need. Because what's the opposite of right? Wrong. And today, instead of the church doing everything that's right, the church is persistently doing everything that's wrong. The pulpit is sinful. The pulpit is corrupt. And by pulpit, I mean the preachers, the pulpiteers. And when the pulpiteers are corrupt and sinful, for the most part, follow their preachers. And so the people also become corrupt. And the people also become extremely sinful. Why? Because as Paul warned us, a little leaven, and when the leaven starts in the pulpit, when the contamination starts in the pulpit, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You let a little sin into the congregation, and before you know it, the congregation is immersed in sin. A little leaven, just a little leaven. Just a pinch of leaven, folks, leavens the whole lump. And you cannot be filled of, you can't be filled of the Holy Ghost. You can't claim to be a Holy Ghost-filled believer and walk into church and be happy with what you see. Don't tell me that you walk in the Spirit. Don't tell me that you are being led by the Spirit and you walk into your church and you are applauding what you see. It ought to break your heart as it does mine, as it does God's heart. Why? Because God expects better of his people. God expects better of the church. We're supposed to be the light and the salt. And this is why Isaiah says, he says, when he looks at the church, Isaiah's heartbroken. Isaiah is heartbroken. And he says, for Zion's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace, nor will I rest until the righteousness of Zion and the righteousness of Jerusalem therefore go forth as the dawn, or as the brightness, or as a new day. And we need to pray a new day for the church. We can't look back. I can't look back at when I first attended church, what we call the good old days, when my grandmother used to take me to church, when my maternal mother, when my maternal grandmother used to take me as a grandchild to church, the holiness church, where in those days holiness was truly holiness. Those days are gone, folks. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. There's no more holiness unto the Lord. There's no more, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. There's no more preaching on the second coming of Christ. There's no more preaching that Jesus can come tonight as a thief in the night and you ought to be ready. No, no, no. The church is playing and not praying. And like the prophet Isaiah, we should resolve to persistently pray. Pray for what? What are we praying for? We're praying for a revival of righteousness. That's what Isaiah said he was going to do. He said, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake will I not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as a new day. So when we look at our introduction, what is it that we ought to be praying for? Because, folks, you know, we ought to know what we should pray for. We ought to know. First of all, we ought to know that we should be praying. In most of our churches, they've canceled prayer. They've canceled prayer. Prayer is no longer on the church schedule, folks. Is no longer on the church schedule. So the first thing we ought to know is that we ought to pray. Now, a whole lot of people know that they ought to sing. Another group knows that they ought to dance. Another group knows that they ought to preach. Another group knows they ought to collect money. Another group knows that they should fry chicken and have dinners. I mean, we know how to dance a jig when the organist, when the church organist plays that music right. Please. We know how to make announcements. We know how to set up the pastor's anniversary. But we know a lot of things, but we've forgotten to pray. And Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, first of all, I require, son Timothy, that first of all in the church, that prayer, supplication, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. First and foremost, we ought to know that we need to pray. Then we need to know what to pray for. And what are we praying for? For God to light another fire, a revival fire. Only God, saints, listen to me. Only God can turn this mess around. It's not about, forget about more meetings. Well, let's have a meeting to see what we can do. There's nothing we can do. All we can do is just do what Isaiah did. And what did Isaiah say? He says, I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm going to make my appeal to God that God would light another fire. Why another fire? Because all throughout church history, when the church has declined, when the church has gone into the dumps, when the church has lived just like the world, there were always men and women on their knees seeking God, for God to light another fire, for God to start another revival. Now, you can't preach a revival. I don't, listen, folks. There are people who, if you notice, the church down the block is having a revival this week. And then what happened? They met for 7 days, 7 day revival, and nothing was revived because all they did was got together every evening to hear preaching. There was no dedication to prayer. And what is preaching? Preaching is trying to get the preacher to save the church. See, when you have these revivals, and I see it all the time, our church is having a week of revival. Our church is having a week. And you know what? And afterwards you ask, well, what happened? Oh, we tired. We went to church every night. Was there revival? No, no revival. They collected offerings every night. The church bank account got a little filled up. But no revival. Why? Because you're trying to get a preacher to revive the church by preaching, and that's not revival. Revival is when we get on our knees and shut our mouths concerning preaching. There's no preaching. And all we do on our knees is we cry out to God. Then God shows up. Then he lights the fire. That's revival. See, we need to have revival God's way. And God's way is not by preaching, but by prayer. Prayer is what gets God moving on our behalf. So first and foremost, we need to know that we ought to be praying and not preaching. We ought to be praying and not having conferences to try to figure out how to make this church grow or how to get back to hope. No. No more meetings, no more discussions, no more bringing in the experts, no more bringing in the named preachers who can fill out the church for the week. Who we're having on Monday for? Oh, we're having this great preacher. And who we're having on Tuesday? Oh, we're having. And after all is said and done, you ran around, you went to all those meetings, you all tuck it out. Some of you who attended the revival Monday through Saturday won't even be on church on Sunday because you're so pooped out. Revival starts when we don't turn to preachers, but when we turn to God. And this is why Isaiah says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness. Now, who's the one who can make things right? God, and God alone. Point number one in our outline, praying for righteous God to start a revival of righteousness. Praying for the righteous God to start a revival of righteousness. Now, what does the term righteousness mean? Well, the word righteous means a state of being morally upright and just. See, we want to be in a state of revival, in which this would be the end result. The end result will be that after the revival is over, we would find ourselves in a state of being morally upright and just. In other words, we're praying that God will turn us around because we're doing everything wrong. Our preaching is done with wrong motivations. Our praise and worship. Listen, folks, listen. Our preaching today, look, I can show you why it's wrong. Look, why do we have preaching in the church today? Well, the purpose of preaching is to pack out the house. It's not to hear about God. It's not to get more knowledge of God. It's not to come under the lead of God. No, preaching is designed today to pack out the house. Same thing with worship. Why do churches now have this fabulous worship? Is it to lead people in praise of God? No. Worship now has become a form of entertainment. So our preaching is entertainment. Our worship is entertainment. And everything that we do in the church is entertainment-based. Why? Because we're trying to fill out the house. Why are we trying to fill out the house? Because we're after money. So you see, the preaching is wrong and the praise is wrong and the bottom line, which is we want money, is wrong. Why? Because look, folks, look, listen to me. Preaching and praise is supposed to lead us to God. And it's not about bringing in more money. It's about bringing in more souls. So you see, we've folks, we're off the track. We're headed down the wrong path. And you see, we need to pray that our righteous God will start a revival of righteousness, where now the preaching is on the right track, where the praise and worship is on the right track, that we can care less about money and how much money that we bring in this week and that we meet our budget. No. Our concern ought to be the right concern, and the right concern of the church is souls. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to raise money. God the Father didn't send Jesus so that Jesus could set up little outposts all over the world, so that Jesus could have in all these outposts money being collected. No. We're talking about a harvest of souls. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. It's not whosoever will believe in him will donate. It's not whosoever will believe in him will give. No, whosoever will believe in him will not perish. You see, our motivations are wrong. The pulpiteers, their motivation is wrong. The praise and worship, even the praise and worship people are in competition one against another. It's all about being in a band. It's all about singing. It's all about, you know, I can sing and the limelight is on me and I'm recognized and people just love the way I make the church rock. And it's not about God. We're on the wrong track, folks. We're headed the wrong way. And Isaiah is praying for a revival of what? Of righteousness, that we would get it right and live right and our motivations would be right. Today, they have 3 and 4 services in the church. Why do they have 3 and 4 services? And why is it that every service is an hour and a half to the clock and then they usher you out and bring in the next group in? Why? Why is it set up that way? Is it because they love the sheep? No, they love money. They love money and they love fame. They want to say, well, we have a church of 20,000. We're a mega church. It's all about ego. It's all about money. It's all about status and nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with God and sin and eternal damnation and eternal glory. Nothing. And point number 2. Praying for an ever-increasing revival of righteousness. You know, Isaiah said, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness or as the dawn or as the rising sun. You know, Isaiah says, we're going to pray. Isaiah said, we're going to pray for revival. But we're not going to be happy with just the sunrise or for the appearing of the sun. You know, when the sun rises, there's another 12 hours. There's a long period before the sun sets. And Isaiah is praying, let the brightness of righteousness come forth. Let the church live right for a long, long, long time. Let us never go back to a period of darkness in the church. But let us live in the full light of God's glory and in the full light of right living. That's what he's praying for. Of course, it all starts with a sunrise. But Isaiah prays that the sunset would never come. Let there be a sunrise. Let the sun come up. Let the sun shine in its full glory and its full power at noontime, but let us stay there and let the church remain righteous and let the church remain in the light. as he's in the light, because God is light. Well, saints, pray with me. Join me in prayer. Join me in believing God that he can turn this mess that we call church around. Oh, God, I'm not telling you to leave your church. I'm telling you to pray for your church. Telling you to turn your back on your church. I'm encouraging you to stay there and be a watchman and pray for God to turn it around. I'm praying for men and women who will join me and this small staff here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Church, who's going to believe that God can do what he's done in the past, that God can light another revival fire. But he'll light it by means of prayer. Well, saints, my time is up. But I want to encourage you to tune in next week as I will continue this study. I will continue this study on Isaiah 62 and why we need watchmen, intercessors, prayer warriors on the wall. God bless you. Tune in next week. I'll be here. I pray that you will too. God bless.
Yeah.